Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Over 60,000 people have signed a petition urging the government not to put a 23% VAT hike on vitamin and mineral supplements due to come in on the 1st of March. Meanwhile, some medics have questioned how useful these products are in the first place, and food supplements up until now have been treated as food for VAT purposes, availing of a 0% rate applicable to food in Ireland for more than 40 years. However, we found out last year that the 23% will be applied and that they will be changing status from food supplements to something else. So what do you think? Should these supplements be exempt from VAT? And how useful or necessary are the majority of these vitamin and mineral supplements? To discuss this, I'm joined now by Dr. Mary Rose Sweeney, who is the Associate Professor in the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU. Mary Rose, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ciara.
What do you make of it? Are you like a lot of people who are texting the show right now, outraged at this 23% VAT hike?
No. I mean, I think in general terms, for population health, we don't need to consume supplements. So a balanced diet, so eating a wide variety of foodstuffs with plenty of fruit and veg, will generally provide us with the correct blend of vitamins, minerals and trace elements for mm-hmm. good health. And if you feel that, you know, you're not getting enough micronutrients, as these are called, then you probably would be better off incorporating a bit more fruit and veg into your diet to bring up the amount of these stress elements. And that will give you them in their natural form, in the right blend.
Yeah.
And also you'll be getting the matrix of the food. So you'll be getting some extra fiber there as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is better than, you know, a very concentrated source of a vitamin in isolation from other nutrients, so they're not acting synergistically together, which is the way nature intended them. But also the chances of your body being able to retain a large dose like that are low, so you'll probably excrete a good bit of it back out again in your urine.
You're basically saying we're producing very expensive wee from these supplements, but not a whole lot much else.
Yeah. So I mean, your body will retain some. But again, you know, the science, you know, we looked at folic acid actually a few years ago, and whether, so prior to our research, we had always thought that the body would excrete a lot of the folic acid because it's a water-soluble vitamin.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, we showed that, you know, with increasing exposure to small amounts, it was actually accumulating in the body. So, and you know, so I think there's a lot more research needs to be done about other nutrients and what they're doing in different vehicles of administration. So if you drink it in a drink versus taking it in bread, there's a different effect there. So, you know, we probably need to do a lot more research about the doses and what's happening in the body before we could say for sure that they are being flushed down the toilet.
It's my understanding that HP or A types of supplements, which are the Health Products Regulatory Authority sort of endorsed ones, that they're going to stay at zero VAT. That's iron, that's folic acid, that's vitamin B12, and that's vitamin D. Not much else is going to stay. Everything else is going to go up to 23%. Is that about right? I mean, there's probably a handful of other things that for specific people that you know, for example, I think people with macular degeneration certainly do take vitamins and things that supplements that support their eyesight. That's an arguable one. But is it not the case that the vast majority, and I mean the vast, vast majority of supplements that are produced and taken are produced by a $1 billion industry that's unregulated, and indeed that the people who are taking them are, people don't like the term, but it's an apt one, the worried well.
Yeah, and I saw you got criticism.
Oh, I did. That wouldn't be the first time.
But yeah, I mean, I suppose a good way to come at this is to look at why people are actually, why they feel that they need to take them. And I don't think there has been any research done on that. So I think, you know, there is a case here for doing more research about why are people taking them, and could we allay those fears in another way by, you know, encouraging them to eat a more well-rounded diet if they genuinely aren't getting enough. And, you know, I think that would need to be assessed. So at an individual level, if you think your dietary intake is not sufficient, go to a dietitian. You know, there's plenty of dietitians out there who can do a very simple interview with you and assess that.
And they will probably advise you, because they have a lovely expression, the dietitians, eat the rainbow. Mother Nature is very good to us. They make things different coloured because they contain different things. So if you're eating orange and green and red and yellow and blue and all the different types of fruit and vegetables that are out there, the chances are you're getting that proper mix. The more colourful bits you have in that are different colours, the better off we are, largely.
Yes, and if you're well and you're not getting recurrent illnesses, and if you have plenty of energy, chances are that, you know, you don't need those extra supplements in your diet.
Let me read you a few things that are coming in, perhaps unsurprisingly. Someone says, this is tax on supplements is a tax on health and well-being and nothing less. I suffer from severe bouts of IBF and all my doctor can offer is anti-spasmodics, which are ineffective. I follow the advice of a natural health practitioner on her advice, and I now take probiotics and digestive enzymes, which are very helpful and significantly reduce both the severity and the frequency of my IBS. Both will now be subject to that underhanded sneaky tax roll on the election. Someone else says, how about raising the VAT rate on health supplements to 23%. How about instead of doing that, raise the rate on fast foods to that level? Currently, a hot takeaway food is at 9%, which is worse for us. Also, any sugary foods that are detrimental to our health. I take a fish oil supplement with added extras, and as a woman of a certain age, it's changed my life. My 83-year-old mother also takes various supplements to aid her arthritis. I truly believe they are of benefit to her. And I'll read one more and then I'll let you tell me what you think. Someone says, Kira, this is shocking. It's a big push from the government for people to be healthier and more active and eat healthier. But this feels like a kick in the teeth. Yes, the health food industry is a multi-billion euro industry, but it has up to this point always been exempt from VAT. And this sudden jump now looks like nothing more than greed grab by the revenue for government. They have been numerous petitions against it, such as www.stopthisvat.ie, as well as physically signed petitions, but they have been completely ignored by the revenue and government. Extremely short-sighted, to say the least. Allowing people to manage their health using health food supplements is going to automatically have a snowball effect with regard to lower medical costs, and it goes on in that same way. But is it not the case that the vast majority of people who are taking these things and spending their money aren't getting any health benefits from them at all? Not really, other than perhaps a placebo effect and making themselves feel better, you know, as in I'm doing something proactive. And actually, why should a billion-dollar industry be exempt from VAT? Why should we be propping up something that is unregulated and making a fortune?
I mean, well, there's a lot in those conversations that come in there. So I should have started writing them as you start speaking.
Yeah, well,
but on the IBS one, I mean, it's a very early stage emerging evidence about the role of probiotics. So certainly, there's no evidence, and of course, like individuals' opinions and experiences about themselves should not be discounted. So, you know, but we need to build up data from clinical trials to look at those. And if that lady had gone to a dietitian, the chances are she might have identified that the issue there is lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
And then I could see why a lactase enzyme might work for that lady.
You can also get probiotics without taking a supplement.
That's right, yeah.
You know, probiotics are in yogurts, probiotics are in certain, you know, they're probiotics in food. Aren't we really saying that we want people to eat healthily rather than be popping pills? And that is the essence of wellness, really, but nobody wants to hear it?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, there does seem to be reluctance. And as I said, if you feel that you're not getting a balanced diet, then, you know, have more fruit and vegetables and see if that makes you feel better. You're getting other benefits there as well.
Yeah. James says, Kira, I suspect a lot of people have been taken in by the wellness industry, which is why they believe they need these supplements. How many have been talked into supplements by personal trainers and nutritionists? I think probably quite a lot of them. And I saw a tweet over the weekend, somebody saying that they went into a health food shop and posed, because it wasn't true, as the sister of a cancer patient to see what they would be offered. And they were offered, they said, I think it was something 14 different supplements that would be beneficial, even though this person, I think, might have been a dietitian or something and knew that they weren't. But Olga makes a good point. She says, Kira, I'm taking lysine daily to prevent mouth and cold sores in my nose. I'm on methotrexate for lupus. Stopping it for a week means that they'll be back. Lysine is already mad money and now will cost more. A lot of people do take lysine for prevention of cold sores, herpetic type things, shingly type things, and there's some benefit there. Do we need to, is a one size fits all an issue here? Because there are, you know, we've mentioned already that what they're going to exclude the VAT on. It's not going to be on iron, folic acid, B12 or vitamin D. But there are things like lysine that might be of benefit, MacuShield for macular degeneration, things like that, that doctors themselves might recommend somebody would take. Should we have a little bit of discretion about these things? I mean, the point is well made about there not being 23% VAT on fast food. I mean, I'd have no issue with that being brought in.
Yeah, neither would I. And I suppose, yeah, I mean, there could be a conversation around the general medical scheme. If you have a medical card and you have a medical diagnosis of a need for something, then, you know, that's a different issue rather than just going and popping stuff, because, you know, this wellness is a big buzz phenomenon at the moment.
Totally. Yeah.
And, you know, these kind of things just catch on and then they pass again. But, I mean, we have followed America in this trend where the Americans were very fond of the last 10, 15 years of taking supplements. And now it just seems to have reached our shores in the last couple of years.
And certainly a lot of them are, as you say, just drivers of expensive wee. Look, thank you very much for speaking to us. Certainly the text lines have lit up. We're going to keep talking about it. But thank you for that. Indeed, that is Dr. Mary Rose Sweeney, who is Associate Professor in the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU. Let us know what you think. Are you affected by this 23% VAT hike? How much do your supplements cost you already? What will they cost you afterwards? And do you feel it's unfair on you? Lots of people getting in touch. Someone says, Ciara, I have colitis. I take Alflarex. It's great for gas and bloating. And that's from Michael. Someone else says, Ciara, as someone who had to get B12 injections from the doctor and folic acid in the over-the-counter quantities with chemo, I think prescribed supplements should not have VAT. But supplements taken by choice should. Also, should we not be more outraged that there is no VAT on oral medication, but 23% on non-oral? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't, Amy. You're totally right. And I completely agree with you. B12, happily, I think will remain exempt, as will folic acid, but there are other ones that won't. Someone else says, Ciara, my son suffers from anemia. Lots of women also need iron. As a medical doctor, do you not recommend people take that when they need them? Should all? No, iron is going to be exempt, and anemia is a well-known medical condition treatable with iron. So the HPRA sort of types of supplements are remaining exempt. It's the, you know, going in and getting a load of sort of, you know, tubs of things from a health food store that have no evidence to support their use. That's what's going to happen. And one of our listeners is on the line, Kate. Kate, you are somebody who takes supplements. What do you think about the VAT?
Hi, Ciara. I guess I texted in because I feel, you know, like you've probably covered in some of your texts already, that, you know, people who are taking supplements generally are taking an active interest in their health.
For sure.
They may have particular issues. You know, we all have our little, you know, individual, I suppose, issues. You know, why tax, I suppose, you know, add another tax onto people who are already taking an active interest? You know, I fully agree that, you know, we're probably peeing a lot of it away. But, you know, perhaps the amount that we absorb is enough to keep people, you know, who have certain conditions or whatever, you know, that is of help.
I hear exactly what you're saying. And I agree with you, as in, you know, you're trying to do the right thing. And I think that's why people are responding so strongly to this. They think it's unfair because they're trying to do the right thing. But what if the truth was that we are not undernourished in this country? For example, somebody has texted in and they have said, the vitamins and minerals, Ciara, in normal food are depleted. The food we eat is deficient and toxic. So we need that's not true. We are overnourished in this country, not undernourished. And the truth is that none of us are practically deficient in hardly anything. Now, I know some of us are deficient in certain things, but I'm talking about in broad strokes of the population. Should we be supporting? I mean, they make billions. They're big pharma, only unregulated, and they make billions. And why are we so sort of supporting them when somebody like yourself, I would suggest, would probably look after your health perfectly well, even if you didn't take vitamins?
Yeah, but at the same time, I do feel I'm somewhat reliant on a few of them.
You know, tell me.
Probiotics.
Okay.
For my, you know, I'm not diagnosed with IBS or anything like that, but I was extremely ill a couple of years ago with, I don't know, it was more than food poisoning is all I can say. And, you know, back and forth, hospital, doctors, etc.
I get that totally.
So ill, and it was only eventually, like, I really was on my knees. I was extremely underweight. I was really in a bad way.
Yeah.
Crawled into a health store and said, you know, I was heading away on holidays with my family, something. And she prescribed or advised a probiotic.
Yeah.
I never looked back. Now, that was after 6 weeks of back and forth to hospital and doctors. Give me something, please. I was begging.
Yeah, and I
was all I was advised to take.
I totally get. I totally get that. Now, and I genuinely, I'm not being facetious in any way. I totally get that. And very often, after somebody has had a severe, maybe gut infection or something, they get transient lactose intolerances. Their microbiome is affected. Their gut flora and fauna is affected. And anybody would say, you may not still need one, though, mind you, because that was probably in response to what was wrong with you. And that's part of it too. It's like I might put somebody, or I don't anymore, but back in the day, I might have put somebody on a medication when they were sick, but it doesn't mean they need one forever.
No, no. I mean, it's not a crutch. I genuinely, I don't want to have to buy them. I don't want to have to pay for them because, I mean, they cost me about €30 a month. But when I stop taking them, and definitely if I travel, I suffer hugely. But if I stop taking them, it's not, I don't, you know, collapse, but my stomach would not. I just don't have a great stomach, to be honest. I won't go through the boring history of it all. I just don't have a great stomach. So after a while, my stomach just doesn't feel that great. I find I'm not eating properly because things are irritating me, And I go back to the probiotics and it just seems to get me back on a level playing field again. It just works for me. I don't know, you know, you're the doctor. I don't know the science behind it. I probably have some underlying thing that I haven't investigated. But, you know, it works. I have psoriasis and I find oil supplements, again, just keep me off having to use steroids and potions a lot.
I suppose what people really, and I'm not, I mean, what you sound completely reasonable, Kate, do you know what I mean? All I'm saying is what people really want you to do is eat oily fish and, you know, all those types of things. That's what people really want.
Which I do as much as I can, but I mean, I'm not a hairy macro kind of person and I can only tolerate so much. Salmon and my family, you know, to go, oh my God, here she comes.
No, I hear you. I hear you. No, I do. And I do understand. Look,
you know,
I take your.
A few oils. It's easier for everybody.
I take your point. Look, thank you for coming on and speaking to me. Fair play to you. Thank you for that. Someone says, Kira, I can't do without my multivitamins. Before I took them, I suffered from mouth ulcers and cold sores. A chemist told me to take them. I've never looked back. And actually, a lot of people would take them for angular colitis, which is the little cracks at the side of your mouth as well. I know that. Lots of people talk about lutein and Maca Shield that are recommended for various things by doctors. Someone else says, Kira, I'm a nutritional therapist listening to this very one-sided argument. Doctors and consultants are trained in pharmacological solutions. Only the nutrients are not in our food anymore because they're not in our soil. Supplements are essential if you're deficient, but testing instead of a scattergun approach is important. It is the new paradigm called functional medicine that many doctors in the US are embracing. Sadly, not so much Irish doctors. I did my thesis on vitamin D. Vitamin D, I think, is still going to be zero rated, by the way, and the prevention of cancer. And it showed that patients with sufficient vitamin D levels survived cancer better than those with low levels. Should patients have to pay more? It's not going to happen for vitamin D, Louise. And thank you for getting in touch. Someone says, Kira, diet doesn't always solve health problems. I very healthily and I rely on sage drops to keep hot flushes away. If I stop them for a week, the flushes come back with a vengeance and make my life very difficult. You're not the first person I have seen talk about sage for menopausal symptoms. And I used to say to people myself, take some sage because if it works for you. All the studies show, lads, that they're placebos, though. I don't know what to say to you. Someone else says, my wife and I have been told by a dietitian and a fertility expert to take supplements and vitamins for fertility. We pay, €400 a month for these. And we were disheartened by the unregulated IVF industry in Ireland that just wants to get you in for as many cycles as possible. I should point out that the supplement industry is also unregulated. 400 a month sounds like an awful lot of money to me. And maybe last one at this. Hi, Kira. I have to laugh at your doctors talking about nutritional supplements when doctors are not educated on nutrition at all. I love your show. I don't mean to offend you. You don't offend me at all. But you don't know about nutrition. I've noticed this before. I worked as a nutritionist for almost 10 years and lots of people need different supplements for different conditions. Also, the food that we eat is denatured and wilting in the supermarket a lot of the time. Yes, if we ate our own vegetables from our own gardens, etc., we would not need supplements. But unfortunately, this isn't the case. It's very complicated. Food is not fresh and supplements help people with conditions. Maybe last one is, the issue is not if supplements are effective or not. People are spending their money on these, even if it is a placebo. You will change the worried well to the worried sick, and that will add to the cost of health. Except for, I'm not sure that people do get sick in the main. I'm not talking about anecdotes from individuals, but in the main, I think that in the same way that there should be VAT on lots of things, I don't see any reason not to have VAT on this. We're going to take a short break and we're going to be talking about sex for the over 60s. Stay tuned for that.